everybody, and welcome to another edition of the Latin Babbler Show. I am your host, the Latin Babbler, and I'm here again with my amazing co-host, Tigera.
¿Qué onda? ¿Cómo estamos esta noche?
That's what I'm talking about, Ms. Rocky.
Hola, ¿cómo estamos?
El Bojique in the house.
¿Qué lo que, familia? Back at it again.
And joining us is New York City-based actor, singer, and podcaster, most known for his three-season spanning roles of Agent Woods on the hit NBC series Blindspot, and host of Actors with Issues. Welcome to the show, Juan Ayala.
Orale, what's up, everybody?
What's up, man?
¿Qué onda?
Mr. Ayala.
Thank you for having me. ¿Qué onda, todos? ¿Todo bien?
We've been trying to connect for quite some time now, man. We've been talking about collaborations. Hey, when do you want to do this? When do you want to do this? And then all of a sudden, the Latin World Tour came out. We were like, hey, this is perfect. He's from El Salvador. That's crazy, right?
Love it. It's a perfect, little collaboration. I'm excited to talk to you guys.
All right.
Excited to learn.
So, welcome everybody to our second stop in our Latin Babbler World Tour. Today, we will showcase the small country of El Salvador. And we are going to give you, again, some fun facts about the food and some great locations to visit and give you some general perspective as well. The entire show is going to be dedicated of showcasing El Salvador.
So tell me, ¿qué onda, Juan?
Nice.
¿Cómo está todo?
Todo bien. Long weekends. It was actually my boyfriend's birthday is this coming week, so we celebrated over the weekend. And, COVID safe. Everybody was safe.
That's good.
Nice. But, excited to be here and chat with everyone.
Which one do you enjoy the most? Actor, acting, singing, or podcaster? Like, which one do you like the most? Like to do?
Oh, man. It's funny to have like a different answer for each one. Acting, I get the most fulfillment out of, I guess, because it's something that I absolutely love to do. But it's of the three, it's the one I get to do the least because you have to book work to act, you know? Singing is what I've been doing for the longest. I grew up in a Pentecostal Spanish church. Music is a huge part of that. So, I grew up singing since I was a little kid. But podcasting is the one that I do the most frequently because I, do episodes every week. And I have grown to love it. Yeah, love all three for different reasons each.
So Pentecostal church. So you're talking about alabaré, alabaré.
Yeah. Fuego Pentecostal, fuego Pentecostal.
Let me get my pandareta, folks.
This is crazy.
Yeah, man.
All right, Mr. Juan, you were in your first musical at the age of 12. Right?
Yes, ma'am. 12 years old.
Right.
Gosh,
okay.
So young.
So I want to know, which musical were you in and what role did you play?
My first show was one called Seussical, which is a musical about Dr. Seuss and all of his stories. So the Cat in the Hat is in there. He's like the narrator of the show. And the biggest focus is Horton Hears a Who.
Oh,
okay. And I played Horton the Elephant. And it was so much fun. It's the first time that I got to act on stage because I'd been singing as a little kid in choirs in school and at church. And this is like, wait, I get to sing and dance and act all at the same time. What? Like, it was so much fun.
Well, that's awesome.
That's really when I fell in love with it because I was like, oh, I get to like perform, not just like stand here in front of a mic and sing like you do with choirs. It was just really cool to be so creative and learn. Yeah. Super, super fun.
Awesome.
So Juan, your podcast, Actors with Issues, tell us more about that.
Actors with Issues is a weekly show where I interview the rising stars of TV, film, and Broadway. It's something that I'd wanted to start it prior to the pandemic, maybe more than 6 months before I actually started it. But I had just moved to New York around that time and was experiencing some real burnout. So then when I finally, when the pandemic happened and all of us actors and fitness industry employees, as I'm one of those as well, had all this time on our hands. So I figured, well, why not start it now and chat with my friends who I'm sure are very eager to talk about the state of their creative world and of the industry and all of that stuff. And just, chat about the business and about their experiences and sharing stories. Yeah, I have really, really enjoyed doing it so far.
Now, you guys have a Zoom, right? It happens, I believe it's, what is it, every Saturday at around noontime?
So that's actually a different project. So that is something that I started a few months ago called Actors Therapy. And it's open to all artists and creatives. And it's just a weekly Zoom meeting we do. People can vent, you know, chat, network with each other. We've got people from all over. We've got folks from the West Coast, the East Coast, right in the middle of the country. That's been really fun too. I love talking with actors. I love talking about the business and everyone's experiences and how an actor has to be like the CEO of their acting business and all of the different stuff that, you know, the stuff that's beyond talent, because it's not just about talent. There's so much more that goes into it.
The business side, yeah.
Yeah. And that's, if anything, it's more crucial than where you went to school. It's like, cool, you know how, you know, you can act the heck out of this scene or this monologue, but how are your headshots? Do you have a website? Do you know all of this other stuff? You know, do you have your brand down pat?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Branding. So speaking about the pandemic, how have your bookings been since?
So I was fortunate enough to sign with my first manager during the height of the pandemic. You know, there was lots going on, and I'm sure I know a lot of people that sort of just quit the business altogether. They took it as a sign of God to just stop acting or to go back to school or move back home because they couldn't afford to live in New York City or Los Angeles without working. So I was fortunate enough to book a great manager during that time, and it's been the most that I've auditioned in my life. Very fortunate to be auditioning so often. I've only worked on one show since the pandemic called For Life. It's an ABC drama.
Oh, I know that.
And great, really, really fun show to work on. And they, you know, they worked the show, they worked the pandemic into the story. So I was wearing a mask in the scene and whatnot. And it was really cool to just see how sets were working under COVID, because I hadn't worked on a show, you know, for obvious reasons, the entire pandemic and all of 2020. Blind Spot was right before the pandemic.
So, yeah. That's cool. And the pandemic has been harder. It's been just been hard for everybody.
Yeah,
that's really awesome. Yeah.
Especially for like artists, independent artists. You know, there are some people who work jobs and they've had the luxury of working from home. I have the luxury of working from home. So a lot of people can work remotely, but you know, actors, singers, they've had to kind of make their own way through the pandemic. So it's kind of crazy. So much props to you, man. Much props to you.
Yeah.
That's good stuff. Awesome. And I actually had a chance to, you know, be a part of the actor's therapy. I was not in there the whole session, so I apologize for that. But the very small time that I was in, you guys were going over some pretty extensive stuff, a lot of tips that you guys were offering. Yeah. So it's good stuff, man. If you guys are ever listening to Juan, make sure you attend that, because they actually talk a lot of things about engaging in different, you know, workshops that you guys do and things like that. So good stuff.
And to piggyback on that, you know, that's really awesome as you're saying that about that Zoom and allowing them to vent. Really big on mental health, right? That is awesome, because that just does it. People don't realize how important that is to be able to just speak what's on your mind, especially in the midst of everything that's going on. So
I think that's the best therapy for sure, kudos to you guys.
Yeah, I really wanted to create a safe space for people to vent, and not just that, but ask questions and ask for advice, and because, you know, it's a very strange the past year, and it's crazy that it's been an entire year already of COVID and the shutdowns, and a lot of people, a lot of actors just haven't worked in the past year, and having identity crises and thinking like, you know, if I'm not an actor, what am I? What am I doing this? Should I be doing this? And, you know, it's just good to have a little support group of people to not just celebrate the victories, but to also discuss the losses and the frustrations too.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. Especially in this time. And look, you know, we're starting to get out. We're starting to get out of it. A lot of, you know, people taking vaccines and stuff like that. So hopefully everything gets back to normal.
Yes, definitely.
You know, on Monday, you guys are going to be talking about South Beach, which is nothing but
normal.
Don't
even get me started.
You know, but tonight we are talking El Salvador.
Ooh.
And so let's start with some fast facts of El Salvador. Ready? Here we go. Last week we had fun with Mexico. Today it's El Salvador. For those of you guys who are confused, it was supposed to be Bolivia, but we had to reschedule and we're doing El Salvador first. So if you're getting confused, you're not in the wrong show. You're just in a different country. All right. So El Salvador is the smallest country in Central America. It's actually smaller than the state of Massachusetts.
Es
chiquitico. Una cosita. All right.
With beautiful people.
It's actually, the official name of it is the Republic of El Salvador. And Juan, what's the capital?
I think San Salvador.
There you go. There you go. All right. With a population of 6,187,271, The official language of El Salvador is Spanish or Nahua. Now, the weird part about it is they actually use the U.S. dollar.
That, I was blown away when I saw that. Like, what?
Yeah.
I was confused by that one. I was expecting some weird currency, like Salvadoreños or something. Like, I don't know. It was just...
It used to be the Colón.
The Colón.
El Colón. Okay. Yep. So those were... I remember using those when I... Last time I was there, I was 4 years old, and that's what it was. And I think they had just slowly started accepting the U.S. dollar and... officially went into that some time ago, but yeah, it used to be the Colón.
That's crazy.
Yeah, that one actually threw me out. What? Yeah. So in case you guys don't have a map, it's actually bordered by the Pacific Ocean, Guatemala, and Honduras, and so it's known as the land of the volcanoes because they got so many. So El Salvador frequently gets a lot of earthquakes, volcanic activity, and it is the only country in Central America that does not have a coastline on the Caribbean Sea. So, about half of the Salvadorans live in the countryside. And the weird part about it is, like, you have this whole population in a city, but the ones on the countryside, they're very, like, extremely poor. They don't have electricity. They don't have running water in their homes. Most of them all live in El Salvador in houses and, like, apartments in San Salvador, which is the capital. Right. So, kind of an interesting mix. So, you know, when we talk about, you know, financial equality here in the United States, we're really pushing that limit over there. So now the government over there offers free education to like children, but up to only like the ninth grade. And since we just talked about some of the financial issues that they have, most of the families cannot afford the cost of the supplies or the school supplies and the transportation that it takes to get to some of them. About 90% of Salvadorans are mestizo, descendants of Spanish and Indian ancestors. And 9% of the entire population claims the Spanish descent, which means that for those of them, most of them claim their indigenous backgrounds. All right, so rice, beans, and tortillas are the main foods of El Salvador. Now, Juan, can you attest to that?
Absolutely. Are you kidding? That is like the traditional breakfast.
Ooh, breakfast.
Yeah, yep. it's you know, and mind you, it's not like the flattened corn tortillas that are traditionally Mexican. They're much doughier. They're very similar to pupusas, which you guys will get to in a little bit. But they're just very dense, which is why like that with a little side of beans is like a very filling breakfast. It's more filling than anything.
It makes sense. I've been telling people that rice and beans and stuff like that for breakfast is kind of ideal because it gives you the carbohydrates or whatever you need for the day, honestly.
Not just that, but the reason that they do this is because they can't afford a lot of the stuff that we normally can afford here. So they can't afford a lot of meat.
Yeah.
And they can't afford a lot of the food that we would normally eat on an everyday basis.
Right.
So very tough because malnutrition is kind of like the leading cause of death among like the rural areas. So really tough. Yeah, it is. But, you know, unfortunately, you know, we're going to go to every single country and we're going to try to beautify all of it.
So
the national sport of El Salvador is soccer, which we all knew that. I mean, there's no other way. I don't think there's
any sport that even comes not a surprise close. At all.
Right?
At all.
Like, he's probably in the living room during the World Cup screaming his head off. So at least with his family and stuff like that. So it's kind of crazy. So high in the mountains at like 7,930 foot is the summit of Monte Cristo Mountain. And it's got like a cloud forest, international natural preserve, Ifino. So there's a lot of, there's a government that's, or three governments that are trying to actually help protect this rainforest because they've been cutting down a lot of trees for like industrial and things like that. So, you know, you have a Guatemala, El Salvador, and Honduras. They're all like uniting to try to make sure that this, you know, forest is actually very protected. So the cloud forest is actually home to like orchids, ferns, spider monkeys, which I think are hilarious as hell. You got jaguars, anteaters, and many bird species, including like the green toucans. So we all know what the toucans are. You know,
they're beautiful. I love them.
The toucan so, Sams.
From an agricultural standpoint, you got coffee, sugar, rice, shrimp, which Ed Bojica can't eat, and beef are the main agricultural products in El Salvador, which goes back to what we were saying before. They actually produce
and they can't even
beef,
eat it.
But most people can't afford to eat it.
Wild.
That is crazy. That is crazy. So just a little fun history about the ancient part of it. So the Olmecs came to the region like 2000 BC, followed then by the Mayans in 1500. And then the Mayan civilization ended like about 900 AD. And so the Toltec Empire took hold of El Salvador until about like the 11th century. The Pipil people came to dominate that area. And then after that, the Spanish conquistadors landed. So very interesting. So now, Juan, you got some political information about us because, you know, we want to dive into like what's going on from that aspect now.
Yeah, so it's funny. I hadn't gotten into much of this until the pandemic, because when it first hit and, you know, all the gyms closed and I work at a gym in between gigs, I headed back home to Connecticut for what I thought would be a few weeks and ended up being through almost August. And I started learning a lot about the politics from my parents because they were very involved. My mom discovered YouTube and all of that during the pandemic. So she was watching all of the Salvadorian news just throughout the entire day. Yeah, so the current president, Bukele, he is very popular among the general population, but not among the rest of the politicians, because he's sort of like a man of the people, grew up in El Salvador in a rather poor, or just sort of a normal family, normal lifestyle, doesn't come from money. So he really wanted to sort of to clean house and to help the people and help the poor population. And some politicians don't see any money in that, so they weren't a fan. Yeah, the two political parties there are a bit different. Like, you know, when we think Republican, we think of a specific type of person, and same with Democrat. But over there, the two political parties are ARENA, which is the they're basically the Republicans, with R and ARENA stands for. And then there's the FMLN, so FMLN. And those are the two main political parties. Bukele, the current president, ran independent. So just not controversial, but just sort of not well-liked among the rest of the politicians.
That is awesome. That is awesome. Yeah. I love it.
Who cares what the politicians like him, man? That's what he's going to do for the people.
The people. Right? That's what I'm talking about. That's how it's supposed
to be. Stir. Sometimes you got to stir the waters, man, to turn around and get people looking in the right direction.
Facts. Yeah.
Agreed.
You know, what's crazy is that during the pandemic, we were getting all this extra help. We weren't. But, you know, there were we only just got a year in and got a third stimulus. But in El Salvador, he was trying to give extra money to healthcare workers. And they were like, and then, of course, the politicians like, well, but they're working. What do they need extra money for? Yeah. It's like, God, you guys don't really just are so out of touch with reality that you don't understand, you know, they're just like the sleep they're losing over working so much, like, you know, like the suicide rate increased like crazy with medical professionals in the past year because of COVID and everything that they're dealing with.
For real.
And people were, you know, politicians are claiming like the people want to go back to work. They don't want extra money. They want to go to work, like lift the mandates, stop shutting everything down. You know, the people are like, what? No, we don't want to die. Like so many of our population they're old. They're take care of their, you know, God bless. Like my great grandma lived to be over 100. Like they're healthy.
Wow.
You know, there's no, you know, all the food they eat is natural and homemade and homegrown and all of that. So they live to be very old. So they knew, like, they're like, we want to keep our family alive. We like keep things shut down as long as you have to. You know, they grow their own food, so they'll find a way to survive.
That's beautiful, Juan. Yeah. Very little GMOs.
Not to get too much into the political aspect, it sounds kind of familiar, though.
Correct.
You know, we're dealing with the same logic.
Heard that
here.
Tune before.
Yeah. So, so, all right, Bohica, let's talk about the flag.
Yes, really awesome, the flag. So, and by the way, like I was trying to find the flag before the flag. Like, for example, like Puerto Rico has a flag like before the actual Puerto Rican flag, which would be like the indigenous flag. However, I couldn't find it. But either way, here we go. The flag of El Salvador consists of three equal horizontal stripes, right? The cobalt blues, right? Blue stripes represent the Pacific Ocean and the Caribbean Sea, where the white stripe symbolizes peace. Now, the coat of arms, La Paz. Now, El Salvador's flag is based on the coat of arms of the former United Provinces of Central America.
That's nice.
Okay. El Salvador's, isn't it? So, its triangle represents equality and the three branches of El Salvador's government. Now, as the Land Babbler said earlier, the volcanoes within the flag, there's five volcanoes within the flag, symbolizes the five former members of the Federation, flanked by the blue of the oceans and the sea. The triangles contain symbols of liberty, the ideals of the people, and peace, which are represented by a red cap, golden rays, rainbow, and the date that El Salvador gained independence from Spain, which is very important, Independencia, right? Underneath the triangle lies El Salvador's national motto, which translates in English to God Union, and Liberty, Libertad, right? 14 clusters of leaves represents the 14 departments of states of El Salvador.
That's very interesting.
That's crazy. Juan, what's the national like religion? Are they all Catholic, just like in every other Latin country?
Oh, that's a good question. I don't know if it's specifically Catholic or if it's Christian, because my entire family was Christian growing up. And from what I remember, the churches that my abuela went to in El Salvador were Christian. So it's definitely one or the other.
It's probably like a mix, right? Because I know in Mexico it was predominantly Catholic. Like there's very few Protestant type churches, but I wouldn't doubt it if more in Central America you see a lot more Protestant churches than you see. Because as you know, Puerto Costal, when we're sitting and talking about that, a lot of those churches are in that area.
Yeah, and history tells you that how Spain kind of ran into some of these countries was with the Catholic Church. So from the inception, a lot of the indigenous people and the natives were confronted with basically accept, you know, the church and convert or die, right? And from there stems then, you know, Protestantism. So on something Latino, right, I wanted to like see, okay, what was El Salvador again, the indigenous guy, right? So looking for something Latino, I was like trying to find what was El Salvador or the name of El Salvador prior to like Puerto Rico or Santo Domingo have their own. In El Salvador is Cuscatlan. Now if Juan can say it because he has that accent.
That's so funny. I actually don't have the typical Salvadorian accent, thank God, because it's not a pretty one.
Oh man.
I can imitate it pretty well because I grew up around it my whole time. Right. But even my dad, his is dropped, but when he starts telling jokes and stuff, it just pops up out of nowhere.
It's his native.
You know, it's just so.
Right. But I would say it's Cuscatlan, right, with the accent at the
Cuscatlan,
at the end.
Yeah.
So as much as you guys all know me, right, a very indigenous in history. So over all the indigenous history and the most Latin American countries have the pre-Columbus name. So for El Salvador is Cuscatlan, the pupil descendants of the Aztecs, the predominant tribe in the region prior to the Spanish conquest, named their territory and the capital Cuscatlan, meaning land of the jewel, which I thought was awesome and beautiful, right? Land of the jewel. The name is still sometimes applied to El Salvador today. Now, speaking of independence, let's jump right into the national heroes, right? And Jose Matias Delgado is the national hero of El Salvador. He's the first person who raised the call to independence and the first leader of the independent movement, okay, from the Spanish Empire. And he did that from November 28 of 1821 to February 9 of 1823. Now, he was the president of the Central American Constituent Congress, which met in Guatemala City. Okay, and now speaking of some of these key figures and some of these heroes from the 1970s to the 1980s was Jose Napoleon Duarte from 1926 to 1990 and Don Roberto de Aubuisson Arieta. And he did that from 1943 to 1992.
That's crazy. So they got a rich history, bro. They fought up. You know how
Yes.
They all doing it. Spain, if you're listening, you got beat everywhere, man.
And I think one of the coolest things is independence, right? People claiming and knowing that, hey, okay, we appreciate what you've brought to us. We appreciate some of the rich history you've added. But hey, let us be our own people. Let us be free, right?
Yeah, completely agree. Let's talk about some of these national holidays. Woo! So they got some specific. So obviously we got all the same ones. Everybody does Christmas. Everybody does, you know, New Year's. But, you know, El Salvador has some of their own. They're specific to El Salvador. So, Juan, as I name some of these, you let me know if your, like, parents talked about it or if you've experienced it themselves. So, Santa Ana festivities. Any of those? It looks like it happens from August 3rd to the 6th. This is like a religious holiday. So, it looks like, what is it? We have the most festive days of, like, the nation's capital in the country. Most of these are, like, for patron saints. So, I think most of them are, let's see, probably the biggest one takes place on the 5th. And they have like a procession and it's held with like the image of Jesus Christ. So it begins in the Basilica and then of the Sacred Hearts of Jesus. And then it ends in like the Metropolitan Cathedral of the Divine Savior of the World. And on the 6th, even though everything was taking place on like the 5th, most people, the actual holiday and stuff is on the 6th, which I don't get. So regardless, they just take like a whole week off. which is kind of nice. I wish I could turn around and be Labor Day and be like, hey, you know what? Labor Day is the entire week.
Yeah, wait for it.
So, and that's, right? It's like a national holiday. And most schools and governors, like, you know, they close, but most of the people go to, like, the beaches and the lakes and the rivers, and then they get crowded. So, you know, very good. So September 15th, as we talked about, is the Independence Day. November 2nd is the All Souls Day. And the All Souls Day in Salvador is like an All Saints Day. And the festival is used to like repay and remember those relatives and friends who have passed away. So it's kind of similar to the Day of the Dead.
Yeah, they celebrate that a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Juan, do they do the same thing? Like, are you giving offerings and stuff or no?
So I'm not entirely sure because a lot of these are specifically Catholic holidays.
Mm-hmm.
And as I said, my family is mainly, they were actually part of, so I did look really quick because I was actually curious how much of El Salvador is Catholic, how much is Christian. And nearly half is Catholic, but about 30% mm-hmm. is Protestant Christian. Mm-hmm. So that's definitely what my family ended up being. And then, of course, the rest of the population is just no religious affiliation at all. So, you know, I know if something's like, I figured All Souls Day is similar to Dia de los Muertos, but I'm not too sure about the specifics if they do like the altars with their photos and offerings and if they eat in the cemetery and all that stuff. I'm not too sure. It's a beautiful holiday anyway.
Yeah, I don't know if they do the ofretas and things like that, but I know that they do. I think they have religious services on each of these cemeteries.
Mm.
And so they'll have like mariachi bands singing and things like that, like singing ballads. But you are right. I don't think that they actually go ahead and, you know, do these offerings the way that they do on the Day of the Dead, which is a very special holiday. We spoke about it last week.
Yeah. So everywhere
this one I know you gotta like love. This must have been like the favorite holiday. National Pupusa Day.
Woo! So hungry now. I want a pupusa.
It's just like the second Sunday in November.
It's like Thanksgiving. It's always like the third or the fourth Thursday of November. Yeah. Wow, and I mean, cool. To be honest, Pupusa Day was every Saturday when I was growing up. So,
right?
You know,
I think the country made a National Pupusa Day just to have a day off.
Right.
They were just like, well, but it wasn't even like, it's actually on a Sunday, so you don't even have a day off. It was just another excuse to.
We should do right. Like have Pizza National Day, Burger National Day. We should have one of them. We don't have.
Yeah,
one
we do.
Not a national holiday like.
Where there's already celebrate them like that.
Yes, it's a national holiday, but there is one for.
I've never heard of it.
Yeah.
I think she means like with the day off.
Yeah, like you take the day off and eat burgers and pizza all day.
Oh.
That part.
Bueno, eso es otra vaina.
That part. But funny enough, my mom being Dominican, she makes pupusas fairly often, which is cool. I mean, my wife loves it.
All right. So the very last holiday. First of all, if your wife is making those, we need to turn around. Wife or your mom are making them.
Yeah, let me know so I can go to her house.
Seriously.
So,
what's going on here, Bojique?
Hey, if she's listening, I've been trying to tell her she's got to start FedExing some of these meals, bro.
Definitely. Share it.
Hey, if they can do it for weight loss, they can do it for, like, you know, family.
All right.
So the last one is the San Miguel Carnival, which is like the last week of November. And that's basically like one giant weekend party. And that includes like live music, parades, and dancing. And it takes place. And they celebrate the honor of the San Miguel patron saint. So that's the last one. That's one of the last unique holidays. And so now let's start going into the entertainment aspect of it. So dig it up. Give me some celebrity showcase.
I have some good celebrity today. I have Roxana Mendez. She is a young author born in El Salvador, making waves in the world of poetry, winning national awards recognition for her work. She has published 4 books, including El Cielo en la Ventana, which was translated into English. She often writes about the beauty of El Salvador, as well as violence and tragedy. She was also awarded the country's National Poetry Prize, the National Prize for Children's Narrative, and the Alhambra Prize. And now I have another one. I have a model. Her name is Luciana Martinez, born in El Salvador. She's a model, journalist, and communication student. She's Miss Gran El Salvador 2020. She's running for Miss Gran International 2020. And she has initiated mission and food drives for the communities before and during the pandemic. She wants to use her pageant platform to promote child development and women empowerment.
Ooh, love that. She's a triple threat.
Yes. And then I went looking for, you know, talented people from El Salvador that are right now in the American industry, like Mr. Juan. I have Jose Antonio Cortez, ex-football player for the Giants. Woo! I'm a Giants fan.
Hey.
Yes, yes.
We have Carla Vila, which is interesting. She's been in ER, Southland, which you guys know, Southland from Netflix, and Grey's Anatomy. And then we have this young lady, this lady that she could be like our mom, Gloria Sandoval. She started as an extra and has worked along the side of Robert Downey Jr., Arnold Schwarzenegger, Sofia Vergara. And then we have another gentleman, Carlos Aliagas. He works in the 2,500 kilometers in the HBO. He's also from El Salvador. It's really nice to see the Latin world coming into the American industry.
Definitely.
And that's all I have for today, my peoples.
And we have another one. Thank you, we left one out. We left out that really popular one, Juana Ayala.
Oh, that's Juana Ayala. Right. Hey. He's already in there. You know what I'm talking about? NBC series and all that.
The man, the myth.
His head is exploding right now.
It's like this, swelling up.
Boom. It's going to burst. All right, Ms. Rocky, give us our very first artist spotlight.
Well, mi gente, we have our first artist spotlight. His name is Alvaro Torres. He's a singer-songwriter from El Salvador. He would dream about becoming a musician when he was a child. You know, growing up poor, he would always listen to inspiration such as Sandro and Camilo Sesto.
I love Camilo Sesto.
Mm-hmm.
Right, he's awesome. After moving to Guatemala, the talented young singer decides to start his solo career. Go, boy, do your thing. Signing up to the local label Dila and releasing his first album called Algo Especial in 1976, followed by 1977, Acariciame. Years later, Alvaro Torres moved to the U.S., living in Colorado, California, and finally settling down in Florida. Mm-hmm. Yeah. He knew he was coming over here. During the 1990s, the artist had his breakthrough starting in 1991 with the release of Nada Se Compara Contigo. In 1994, while climbing the charts throughout Latin America, Alvaro Torres was voted Songwriter of the Year by BMI. Here's one of his amazing songs, Si Estuvieras Conmigo.
Solo, que solo estoy, aún con tanta gente a mi alrededor. Yo sigo solo. ¿Quién soy? ¿A dónde voy? Si en este mundo incierto, ¿dónde vivo yo? Lo único que quiero eres tú, mi amor, mi amor. Mi única verdad, si estuvieras conmigo, como estás sin ser, no tendría en el alma la tristeza que siento. Si estuvieras conmigo, aunque fuera un momento, serviría de algo este amor. Siento si estuvieras conmigo, se estuvieras con
wow.
That's like crazy good.
Beautiful.
I remember this song.
Wow.
So why isn't that every like legendary singer ends a song that way though?
I was about to say that. I'm like, that was the
that's like a typical one where they're like
classic. Oh, vintage.
Me.
I remember that's novela. Yep, that's from novelas.
Vintage. Oh my god.
Yes.
That's,
oh my god.
That is funny as hell, man.
Crying up in his bed.
That's crazy.
Always the big finish.
Yep.
Always the big finish, right? Like they're doing opera. So it's kind of funny. Wow. So I got a good story because like we get now that social media has been booming, you know, thanks to our social media crew, RF3, mm-hmm. Ronnie, you guys are pumping up all that social media. So as we do that, I'm now starting to engage with more people. Some of them follow my account from the Latin Babbler show. And then I thank them. I say, hey, thank you for doing this. You know, thank you for following the show and supporting the show. And this time we actually had somebody who turned around and told me, hey, whatever, you know, if there's any way that I can be a part of the show, by all means, let me know. So I had my cousin Carmen actually this morning message me and say, hey, you know, it'd be a really cool idea if we can turn around and have poetry on the show.
Hey.
And I say, it's kind of funny that you mentioned that because just 2 days ago, I had a poet reach out to me asking to see if there was something they can do.
Sweet.
So I messaged the poet back and I said, hey, just out of curiosity, what country do you represent? And she goes, oh, I'm from El Salvador.
Oh.
What?
And I was like, what are the chances that we're talking about poetry and that the one person that I actually reached out to that is a poet happens to be from El Salvador?
Synchronicity, baby. Synchronicity.
The power of the mouth.
Right? So we're actually going to showcase her tonight because I think it was very important to kind of have that. And I think it's great. So I have the pleasure of showcasing Sofia Escalante. She's a poet, a teacher, a rapper, an activist, and is a strong, educated Salvadoran woman. Her motivation, she tells me, was writing her poems come from her family, the environment that she's in, a lot of the experiences, which is what we do. We write a lot about what our experience is. And she uses it as a foundation to, like, express herself.
Mm.
Now, she herself, you know, just like, you know, Juan, you were born in El Salvador, right? But you came here.
I was not, actually. I was born in Connecticut, but both my parents are from El Salvador.
Okay, so then it's exactly the same. Cool. So she was born in San Francisco, California. Both of her parents were actually born in San Salvador.
Awesome.
So there you go.
Wow, synchronicity, baby.
Yeah. So she's a college student and she's majoring in child development with a minor in English. And she aspires to be like a public author. And the reason she says that is because she wants to like, you know, show positivity and have that influence on people with her word, with her spoken word. And also she wants to try to see if she can create like childcare centers all around the world.
Sweet.
So that she can provide employment for people who don't have, you know, that income. So she's also a multi-talented because she also likes to pursue a music career and she considers herself a female rapper as well. And so she wants to combine her poetry and music as a form of like expression of self-love. I actually had the privilege of asking her to see if she would share with us tonight and she sent us her poem.
Beautiful.
And so here is Sofia Escalante's poem, Me Versus Me.
My biggest enemy is my inner me. I can come off mean, but I don't mean to be. I fight with demons inside that makes me stay up at night. It's really hard for me to come clean to my friends, family, most importantly me, that I am drained with no spark anymore. My demons used to be worse. Still, fire peeks through. My emotions and I go back and forth. This ain't no Rocky, but it's always me versus me in the ring. The lyrics that overplay in my head is that you will heal throughout time. Time will heal you. This medicine I need to swallow, positive to cure me. I've been consuming since I've been crawling on the floor. 20 years old, still not cured. Whatever pictures I've been seeing growing up are behaviors I've learned to retrace. I'm hot on cold days. I'm used to the cold. But my birthday is in the summer. Am I going to explode? Being breeded by toxic blood made a toxic me. This is my world. Simply, I have control. Either to live toxic or pure. I took time for myself, 3 weeks. Glowing physically, growing mentally. My inner me is still my enemy. Little by little, toxic is fleeing me. Day by day, feeling free.
That's a nice
That's crazy,
color.
Right?
Cool.
Love it.
Wow. That was awesome. Here we go with the snaps
for Sophia.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what I'm talking about.
Snaps. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, that's bro, it. She's Lighters. Amazing. And you'll actually hear more from her this week because we're going to also do like an IG live with her.
Nice.
And you can follow her on Instagram. She has like two different handles. So if you want to follow her personally, it's Bounce Back B. If you want to follow her on her poetry account, it's Bounce Back B Poetry. So bounce, the word back, add a B to it. And then after that, poetry, take the word poetry off and you got a personal account. All right. So let's go into my favorite part of the whole show. We had fun with it last week and now everybody's going to turn around and start salivating because we are going to talk about the top 10 dishes that you need to eat when you go to El Salvador. And man, Juan knows most of these dishes. Juan, tell me why you know most of these dishes.
Oh, God. Because like every Latino, we just grew up around and surrounded by and submerged in food.
Mm-hmm. They got like a national holiday.
My dad was a chef for most of my life. He's not anymore. He switched careers, but still loves to cook. You know, you can never take that out of anyone. And my mom and my aunts and all of them are amazing, amazing cooks. And Christmas is my parents' house is the place to be in the holidays.
I'm sure.
So, well, I don't know about that. All right. Our family's house is the place to be for the holidays. Cause we got some good food too.
You know, all this competition. Oh, I already see it. So you know what's going to have to happen, right? Immediately after this show, we're going to have to send invitations to both families.
Right.
To meet in one central location that'll be neutral. So that way we don't, you know, talk about home advantage.
Listen, seriously, drop locations, drop locations, and we'll have folks just FedEx packages.
No, we'll just all fly everybody there. We'll just
We
eat.
Can pick Nobody a park. We'll just sit in the park so cool, and just though. Eat. All day.
Oh my God.
That's what I'm talking about. See? Like, all right, let's start this. Ready? Number 10.
Hey, that part.
Number 10 is pupusa de queso con loroco. Now, pupusa de queso con loroco is a variety of like a Salvadorian cheese pupusa. Mm-hmm. All right? It's got like a thick tortilla, which Juan mentioned before. You know, no, we don't want nothing thin. And it oozes with a mixture of like gooey cheese and finely chopped loroco flower buds. So the most traditional type of the cheese is like filling is queso and some semi-soft white cheese. But other than that, you know, it's just cheese. So what we're going to do is go to number 9, sopa de gallina india. Now, this one weird. I don't know why they call it india. Like, india. Is it chicken from India?
Hey. No.
So
indigenous.
Yeah, that's really what it is. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, is that what it is?
Yeah. So,
oh, okay. There we go. All right. That makes sense. That
I
makes sense.
I can imagine a real beautiful.
That chicken must be amazing.
What?
All right. So the star ingredient of the traditional Salvadoran soup or broth is free range, home raised chicken. Una gallina india. And basically what they do is they rich flavor by raising it, you know, natural environment. They feed it natural diet. The chickens typically be cooked in water with like a variety of chopped vegetables, garlic, herbs, spices, and seasoning. Now, my producer Bree knows I hate soup,
I
so
love
I probably
soup.
Pass on this.
All right.
Number 8.
Hey.
Tamales pisques. Or pisques. Tamales pisques. So now this is like a different type. Like there's many types. This is like a specific type of El Salvador. But tamales pisques are made with like seasoned corn masa, and that's mixed with like refried beans. And the combination is then like neatly wrapped in plantain leaves. And then tamales are steamed. And then once you steam, you know, you steam the tamales, you have to wait till they cool down. And then you can eat them. Juan, you have like, you mentioned to me when we were off the air that for the most part, you only have like one tamale that you know, because it's like a family passed down recipe.
Yeah. So it's funny. Traditionally, tamales are usually wrapped in a corn husk. That's more of like the Mexican preparation. Mm. Yeah. So the difference for us and for a couple other of the Central American countries is wrapping in plantain leaves. And it adds sort of like a brininess to it almost. You know, like that brininess that like olives have. It just adds that little layer of flavor. But usually my family's go-to with their tamales is a type of like shredded chicken, potatoes, and chickpeas. Or garbanzo beans. Yeah, delicious. Absolutely delicious. Every New Year's, that's what
we have. Well, I'm going there for New Year's for sure.
New Year's at Juan's house. All right, number 7. Casamiento, which is a traditional dish hailing from El Salvador. It's usually made of like leftover beans and rice that are mixed together. Now, why leftover? I'm not sure. We're going to have to look into that. But the dish is enriched with like an addition of like sauteed green peppers, onions, and tomatoes. And you can serve it with eggs, which turn it around and makes it like a breakfast. So normally they're served with like plantains, fresh tortillas, cheese, or crema. So now the dish itself means wedding. Why? Because of the marriage between the rice and the beans.
That whole meal you just described is like Sunday breakfast at my mom's house. Plátano frito with tortillas, queso fresco.
Can I have it with ham? Because I can't eat eggs, but I'll be there.
I mean, hey, look, I'm telling you, can have it with anything at this point because they're mixing in all the rice and beans. So, you know, you can take it. All right.
It's like
un calentado. Lomo relleno is our number 6, which is like a stuffed loin. And it's like a traditional meat specialty. It's consisting of like pork, beef tenderloin. And, you know, you can cut it open, pound it lightly before it's rolled into like, they're probably softening the meat. The meat is typically seasoned with spices and seasoning and then usually brushed generously with like a mustard sauce or another sauce on both sides. Now, the filling itself has, like, variations, but most of them is, like, vegetables. So, that's lomo relleno. Number 5, sopa de pata, which I think is pretty much everywhere. I think anybody has, you know, cow's foot soup.
Yes,
paticas. But it is a traditional Salvadoran soup, and it's made of combination of, like, tripe, cow's feet, sweet corn, green beans, chayotes, cassava, and bananas. Now, the soup is spiced with onions, garlic, cumin, and achiote, while its rich and buttery flavor comes from the cow's hooves, which is kind of weird to me because where are they getting butter flavor from the hooves?
It's all that collagen. But,
right? Yeah, right.
Yeah, but I'll have some.
That's it.
Here, you the fun fact that. About it is like they actually have to wash it in lemon juice before they toss it in the soup because if not, it keeps that like barn taste to it. Mm. So, yeah, none of that sounds appealing, Juan, does it?
But I'm sure it tastes great.
This is the one dish on this list that I'm like, that's a hard pass. It's a no for me.
That's a hard pass, right?
No, we can take the cow feet and put some oxtail, and that's it. We're good.
Hey. Oh, with the tribe, the cow's feet, the tribe, the garbanzo. I'm there.
What?
I love it, too.
All right, number 3, tamal de pollo. Tamal de pollo is like another variety of the tamales that, you know, Salvadorans eat. And it's usually filled with like shredded chicken. Chicken is like stewed with potatoes, chickpeas, and olives. That sounds a lot more like the one that you were mentioning.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So, right? So the combination is mixed with corn masa, which is what you were talking about, and is wrapped in banana leaves or boiled in steam. Now, normally it's made with like a recaudo sauce, made with onions, bell peppers, garlic, and tomatoes. And, you know, for the most part, it's a tamale pollo, so we're just gonna go with that. Once fully cooked, you eat it obviously the same way, and you know, enjoy the day.
Cocktail de conchas.
Number 2 is literally the national dish, pupusa, which everybody eats. So pupusa is the national dish of El Salvador. It's like thick, it's stuffed, skillet cooked corn tortilla, traditionally served with a side of like tomato salsa and coleslaw. Now we can, you know, we can pass on the coleslaw. Nobody need to be adding coleslaw to it.
Oh,
that's a curtido. It's delicious.
Huh? You like it's a sandwich, but I'm gonna pass on that.
No, but and the coleslaw, made in Central America and the Caribbean or whatever, is not the same as the coleslaw right here.
Maybe.
The
it's
ensalada that they use. Like Nicaraguenses also use it and they put it on top.
Is that the same coleslaw that they use on chimichurris?
Yeah, that's what I was just about to tell you. Yes.
Okay.
Similar.
Right, number so one.
It's similar.
Oh, maybe they. But they, made it's from shredded
cabbage.
Cabbage. Yeah.
But it's made like, obviously with a different seasoning from the different culture
different
or whatever.
But like that.
Yeah.
All right. So here we go. So number 1, curtido. Now, this one I didn't know about. So I looked these up, and this one I didn't know about. So curtido is like a flavorful relish from El Salvador, and it consisted of like fermented cabbage. So is the curtido what they put in the pupusa?
It's served on the side. It's a side dish.
It's a side dish. Okay, yeah. So that's perfect. So anybody who wants to look that up, by the way, you guys can turn around and figure out how all of these dishes are made. And then just put, you know, the curtido. Now, from my understanding, let's say we missed one. So we're being told we missed one.
Uh-huh. I said it earlier. I go, concha.
Number four. We missed number four. We completely skipped it over. Hey, you know, correct me. Yeah, but you were, it sounded like you were cussing.
No, I said sopa de concha.
Four is cóctel de concha, which, well, again, Bojique, stay the hell away from this dish.
No, right? I could actually eat concha. I could eat lambing.
Shell clams.
Yeah, no, I could. The only thing is, so I can't eat bottom feeders. So crabs, correct. Now, crustaceans, clams, mussels, oysters, that I can eat. Fish that
but
I can eat.
It says it's a type of shellfish cocktail.
Yeah.
It usually combines black shell clams, which is conchas negras, diced onions. So you can eat this because it's got. Oh, okay. So there you go. So you can enjoy it.
Because, like, when I've been to the Bahamas, I eat their conch salad, concha salad. It's the same thing. Yeah.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
All right. So the whole thing, it's dressed with like a mixture of Worcestershire sauce and, you know, they put hot sauce and salt.
God, delicious.
So, I mean, it sounds like we need to try that because I'm not a big fan of clams. So I'm interested in seeing what that tastes like. So that's our top 10 foods to try while in El Salvador. And we're going to go back because I actually was able to, you know, speak to a band that we want to showcase tonight. And Miss Rocky has another artist spotlight from El Salvador.
I sure do. So our second artist spotlight is the band Cartas a Feliz, one of the most beloved Salvadoran indie bands of the past decade, colliding influences from rock, cabaret, and cumbia into expertly crafted productions with cinematic flair. Their 2015 debut, Mango Swing, made the band a household name. Their forthcoming sophomore album promises a major sonic leap. Here is Cartas a Feliz with their new single, La Última Cena. Oof, I would like to know what's going to be their last supper, which taps on the political atmosphere and media climate El Salvador faces as well as here in the U.S.
Por eso gobernar bien es la máxima expresión del compromiso.
Aquí le envía el presidente de Ecuador.
En política todo es posible.
Que bajemos la cabeza ahorita y que le pidamos a Dios por nuestro país.
Están puestos los cubiertos, solo falta el plato principal. Invitados ansiosos y hambrientos, no pierdan pena en preguntar. ¿A quién nos comemos primero? Los dientes comienzan a pelar. Y un ingenuo pregunta con miedo si no hay nada más para cenar. Brindemos todos ya.
People and have great respect for you.
Build that wall. Build that wall. Silencio.
We want to make it perfecto.
Loco. Loco. Loco.
But that's okay.
Hoy no hay excusa que valga. A este diablo lo vamos a amarrar. Y alguien traiga la sal y la pimienta. Y no olviden de orar antes de.
Brindemos todos ya, cubiertos en
cubiertos en sangre por esta gran ciudad.
That's amazing.
Love
that's
it.
Indie.
Love it.
That's an indie band,
dancing,
bro.
Yeah. I like that.
Vamos,
I like that a lot.
Yeah.
It's good. They have like a good mix.
Let's
now, you can actually
slam,
find
Triple.
The band at Instagram. Cartas a Feliz. It's C-A-R-T-A-S-A Feliz, F-E-L-I-C-E. So go follow them. It was a great showcase, and now let's keep moving on. So now we're going to go ahead and go to top sites to visit while you're in El Salvador. And so, Juan, you're going to have to correct my language if I turn around and say these wrong or correct my pronunciation. So here we go. Taxumal. Taxumal is the most impressive Mayan ruin. So this is one of my bucket lists because I'm a big ancient history person. And a lot of archaeologists estimate that it was like one of the very first settled areas around 5,000 BC. That's crazy. 5,000 BC. And it was abandoned around like 1200 AD. But the architecture there is like extremely complex. They're starting to like excavate it and like restoring it since like the 1940s and 50s. So Taxumal is believed to have been one of the most important centers of trade. And its language, Quiche, language means pyramid, where the victims were burned, ironically. Oh. Explore the vast site and learn about this history of Mayan civilization. So you have to go to this place. It's like a museum now.
Hey.
So here we go. Playa El Tunco. Now, this is like a two-street beach town, and it's very popular for like backpackers and surfers, kind of like what we have with Cancun and some of the other ones. So if you want to relax and, you know, have like the a lot of the rock black beaches and stuff like that, this is where you go. You do it like you go surfing in the morning, and then you can like take a stroll around the town. So very cool, very cool.
Very cool, very nice.
So Suchitoto.
I
hope I said that right, because it sounds so funny.
Hey, El Topo again.
Here in Dominican Republic, me saying the last part of that word is not exactly good.
So,
did I say that correctly?
You did.
Okay. So yeah, Suchitoto, for all those of you got like the giggities in your heads. It's located northeast of the capital city. And San Salvador, Suchitoto is a former colonial city. And currently, it's like a cultural hub of the country. And so it has a lot of arts and foods. And they have a lot of festivals there. So a lot of people come to visit. It's one of the great places that people come to travel and to kind of vacation spot there. Now, mind you, I have to say this because we go through this every single time we go through one of these travels. Please, please, before you go to any of the countries that we mentioned and you go traveling, do your homework, do your due diligence, and try to not travel alone.
Yes, okay? Disclaimer. So, disclaimer.
Even that disclaimer, because I don't want you to go to any of the countries and then be like, well, Latin Babbler sent me, and now I'm dead.
In other words,
look,
in other words,
that's not
enter
my fault.
Your own risk. We're not telling you that it's good or bad.
Yeah,
we didn't stamp your passport, so
it's
there you go.
It's beautiful, but just all be right. Careful.
So next is La Ruta de Flores. And La Ruta de Flores is like a trail that leads, you know, travelers to like some beautiful villages of El Salvador, named after the wildflowers that grow along the road. All right. The route travels from like Sonsonate through Huawei. Is that what I say? Huawei? Huayua. That one got me.
Good try.
All right. So I'm going to try. It's Huayua.
Huayua.
Esa misma.
Huayua.
Huayua. Okay, there you go. There's the accent. I noticed it. All right, so Ataco, Apaneca, y Huachapán. And like, you can do that for like 40 kilometers. And along the trails, you'll see a lot of culture and history. Different things from like Spanish colonial buildings. They got great food. You know, in the market, they run like, or in the weekends, they run markets. And they have a lot of stunning views. So that's a good place to, you know, turn around and put your backpack down and just relax. So Playa El Esterón. And that's a charming beach. And for whatever reason, it's not as popular as the others in El Salvador, but the beach stretches out like endlessly. It just seems like it goes on forever. And the sand isn't quite as black as like the beaches in the further west, but you know, they have like a gentle surf. So a lot of people go there just to like have a quiet time.
A beer.
So it's not as crowded.
Nice.
Yeah. Go over there and you have yourself a beer. So I don't know. Just go there for like a lazy day and a good sunshine. All right. Lake
Yopango.
Yopango. All right. So that's a crater. Ooh. From what I understand.
Oh, cool. That must be fun.
And it's like, it was a crater filled in like a volcanic caldera. So it's like interesting. It's like right in the center of El Salvador.
Nice.
So I'm not sure if I'd be swimming there. So the lake itself.
It sounds fun.
It like, which feels like the extinct, well, it's interesting. It's popular. Like a lot of travelers and like locals go there because of like, the water is like glassy.
It must be badass to think that you're swimming in a crater.
It must be
like,
scary too at the same time. Ah! But I'll still do it.
Bro, they say that they use it for like diving for fish in the water. And so like the depths go to almost 240 meters or more.
Wow.
Yeah. If you look up like pictures of it, it looks like a massive lake because it's so big. It you would never think like, oh, this is a volcanic crater. It just looks like a massive lake. It's crazy.
That's insane, dude.
That's awesome. I love it.
So, yo, but what if it goes off? Like, that's my biggest. Oh, my
then goodness. You go away.
That's the thing. Crazy.
I'm swimming in the water, and the next thing I'm pollo frito. Like, no, it's just like, all right. So, and I'm a big dude, so I'm coming out like a turkey. All right.
Oh, pollo hervido.
Pollo hervido. Oh, no worries. That tastes nasty. Oh, my goodness. All right, so Monte Cristo National Park. And the national park is full of, like, high peaks. So it's, like, really cool. You can see, like, the low valleys, and it's got, like, a dense canopy. And there's a lot of clouds in the, you know, forest of the oaks and laurel trees. And they can grow up to, like, 30 meters tall. So you got a lot of mushrooms, lichens, mosses grow around all over the forest floor. So that's kind of an interesting place if you're one of those hikers, you know, to come around and take it. But occasionally, visitors will go see, like, rare animals, like the pumas, anteaters, spider monkeys, and a lot of coyotes. But, you know, they see a lot of black shrew, mice, squirrels, porcupines. So, I mean, if you have your pick, if you're like an animal watcher, this is kind of like the place to go. They got nearly 300 bird species.
Wow.
Between the green toucans and like the white-faced quails, and they've been spotted in the national park. So there you go.
Juan, have you been to any of these places? Like, what can you tell us about Monte Cristo National Park? Have you been?
I haven't been to El Salvador since I was 4. So it was a very, very long time ago. But I just remember how quiet and peaceful my grandparents' town was. They owned a little store on the ground floor of their house. And above, they had their home. And one of the most vivid memories is every morning there would be a woman with a basket of pastries on top of her head, walking up and down the street saying pan dulce, pan dulce, you know, like selling pastries.
Remember?
It's so nostalgic for me.
Oh man, this is gonna make you want to go back.
And it's just such a quiet, like cobblestone streets, super quiet, no cars in that area. Everyone walked everywhere. Everything was local. It felt like another world looking really back, cool. You know, especially not living in New York. It's like, it's a completely different world.
Comparison? Oh my goodness. Yeah. There's no comparison in those two. I mean, one is literally a concrete jungle, and the other one is
Welcome
the jungle.
To the jungle.
So let's see. Santa Ana. So this is like a city that's full of like tree-lined streets, vibrant buildings, and a lot of it is made from like the wealth. They have a coffee industry there. It's the second largest city in the country. And I think Santa Ana has been growing like, it's like a growing cultural scene, and it's expanding its grand atmosphere. Along with it, it's like its own beauty. The city offers like base camps for travelers looking to explore the Tasuma ruins or the Ruta de las Flores. So don't miss Santa Ana. It's like you got to go there, and that's a good stop. They got a lot of cathedrals that were completed in like 1913, and it's covered with like intricate carvings on its exterior. So it's pretty good.
Puerta del Diablo before Santa Ana. Puerta del Diablo.
Puerta del Diablo. So Puerta del Diablo has like a dark pass, and I don't even know if I want to even mention this. People are going to...
It's interesting.
So it's got a dark path, death, and like humor, but it's got like some striking views, and it keeps tourists coming back. It's known as the Devil's Door. So that's what Puerta del Diablo means. And the rock formation is made of like two giant boulders forming a window looking out to El Salvador's like landscape. So they got winding pathways that lead up to the viewpoint, and then you'll see like the indigenous town of Pachimalco, directly below. So that's kind of cool, because remember we were talking about Mojique, about some of the indigenous towns and some of the indigenous places that a lot of people haven't seen.
Yes.
So it's kind of cool that this like goes directly. You can right below, you can see it.
Yeah.
So Lake Yopanco is on the left, and then you have the Twin Peaks San Vicente volcano straight ahead of the Pacific side. So I can imagine what the beauty of this is.
Oh my God.
Zip lining, that's a good one.
I wish we could do. Well, they actually do that. Like some of the activities there are like zip lining, canopy tours. They do like caving, and then a lot of people
do
rappel.
That's super cool. I would totally do that.
I'm so scared. Chicken.
I don't know. I do that, but there's no rope, you know, tough enough to hold me. So I'd have to get like one of those ropes that they bring in ships with. All right. So let's see. Everybody's in there. It's a fact.
Here we go.
So Coatepeque Caldera is like the volcano. Yeah, I had to say that, and I'm actually glad I got it right. Yes. So the volcano Caldera was formed like thousands of years ago, and Lake Coatepeque is now the largest crater lake in the east part of the Coatepeque Caldera. So it's huge, and I'm trying to think if it's like, is it much older? Yeah, it's actually older than Lake Yopango. So again, another one that has clean blue waters that reach like a ridiculous amount. This one is 120 meters and it's surrounded by like steep mountainous slopes. I gotta go visit some of these places.
I like lakes. I love lakes.
Absolutely.
As long as we don't have no alligators, we're good.
Yeah. Beautiful out there.
They got like beach houses located around the shore of it, and the lake is like popular weekend getaway. It's like a quiet area, so a lot of people go over there. So it's really nice. All right, so we just mentioned some of the most amazing dishes and locations. We would love to hear which is your favorite, or did we miss any? So comment when you get a chance on our Facebook group or our Instagram, and make sure that you do so, because there might just be prizes.
Prizes.
So here we go. Now, again, we're no short of phrases from different places. We talked about the ones from Mexico. We know we got some Dominicans. We know we got some Puerto Rican ones. So now let's talk about top phrases that you must know if you're going to El Salvador. So the first one, Juan's going to help with the description of some of these, right? So here we go. Que chivo.
That goat. With rice? What?
So if you look at it, if you look at the translation, it's literally, what a goat. So what is like an example, Juan, that I would use Que Chivo?
So Que Chivo is kind of just basically saying like, that's cool, or that's so cool. Like, you know, whenever I would book, if I'd ever book an acting job, my aunt would be like, Juancito Que Chivo, you know? Like,
yeah. Cool.
He said if. That's hilarious. All right,
it's so
one aunt
that comes to mind that does that.
Que ondas?
Yeah, that's the what's up. Que onda?
All right, so every time we see somebody, there we go. ¿Qué ondas? There we go. So is it with a plural? Is it with an A or with an S or without an S?
I think without an S is usually what I've heard.
When would you ever use it with an S? I don't think you ever do, right?
Yeah, I think it's kind of like you stick with one or the other, and that's kind of how you're just raised, you know?
Okay, all right, so let's see. ¿Qué buena onda? So an onda means wave, so I'm interested to find out what this one means.
Like when you're excited, like you say, so, oh my God, that's so cool.
Yeah, a lot of these are just like positive, you know, just that's cool, that's awesome. You know, again, like if something happens that's good, in English, we have 1,000 words for it. That's cool, that's awesome, that's amazing, that's dope, you know.
Fire, that's fire.
Oh, damn.
That's fat wood.
Then you have que mala onda, which in this case, you know, my son would say, oh, that's cap. So, I don't know. So, so que mala onda is like the opposite of that.
Mm-hmm. That sucks. Yeah. Que mala onda.
Que mala onda.
I'm sorry, that didn't work
for you. Coming in clutch.
All right, so let's see. You got Puchica.
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 Puchica. Okay, so there you go. So the accent's on the U. So what is Puchica
saying, bitch?
Puchica is just, it's like a, it's just kind of like a bit more of a harsh exclamation, like a damn, you know, like, ay, Puchica. Like you stub your toe. Ay, Puchica, you know.
You. Yeah. I call you.
Oh, okay. Oh, I got a new word to use. All right, there you go.
You say a la gran puchica.
Yeah, I remember Nicaragua. Cuando llegué a Miami, los nicaragüenses, when I arrived in Miami, the nicaragüenses use that one a lot, right? I used to love it.
Bro, okay, so let me go. Here's the next one. Regálame, por favor. So, I guess, I'm assuming you can say, like, regálame tres pupusas, por favor. So, that means, like, what?
Yeah.
Would you please give me, I'm assuming?
Actually, translate it means, like, can you gift it to me? Like, un regalo, you know? But they're really just asking for it. But it's just, it's so funny that that's how the phrases work, but it's not literal, which is so funny to me. Regálame is like, te lo vendo. I'm not going to just give it to you. I'll sell it to you.
Yeah, right?
You know?
Right. I'll loan it to you for that's a small cool. nominal fee. But, no. All right, so maje, which is apparently, like, translated as, like, dude, I guess? Is that right?
Maje, I haven't heard this one.
Oh, so we got you.
It's a more modern slang. It's not something my aunts and uncles are saying. That's for sure.
Okay, so it says it's used among friends. It's like a kind word, but sometimes it also means like you dislike somebody. So este maje que me cae mal. So I guess depending on how you use it, is how it gets word. So we can sit there and go, hey, maje, and it's like, hey, dude.
Yeah.
You know. Mm. And then if you could turn it, oh, este maje me cae mal, it means like, hey, I don't like this dude.
That dude. Yeah.
So there you go.
All right,
so. A huevo, o cabal, o Simón.
I've heard Simón.
Yeah. I heard cabal. You get something right.
So, that's if you get something right?
Yeah. Like, you know, that's like the Salvadorian slang for like nailed it or something.
Oh, that's nice. Oh, okay.
Right
cool.
on it, you know. Hey, cabal, right. You know, you got it.
So, cora. Dos coras. And I think this is actually something that's kind of probably fairly new, because according to this, it's looking up like part of the US dollar, so it's like it means a quarter.
That's like 2.50 cents.
Yeah,
yeah, it's a quarter. It used to be el colon, like I said before, like dos colones, not dos coras.
So they go, dos coras, hey, dame dos coras. There you go. So there you go. So it's basically pronouncing. So this one actually is kind of funny because we use it everywhere. I've heard this and I've experienced one of these. So cacaso, which. It's normally described as like something that's poor quality, but come on, we've used it for something else. Who knows what a cacaso is in their language?
Not a cocotazo, is it?
I've used cacaso, like me dio un cacaso, like in my head.
Yeah, like you don't bump the head or.
I've heard like me dio un cacaso, so it's like it's interesting.
Like, no, it's like, yeah, it's crappy, whatever. Like, oh.
So they don't.
Oh, that
use
makes
it
sense.
No buena onda. No buena, es mala onda.
Es mala onda.
So, cacaso is another word for
yeah,
shit.
Yeah, another word. You don't want to say kind that of. Word, so you say me dio un cacaso.
So, yeah, me dio un cacaso. So that's literally what that is. So, you know, we're going to take that out. You know, cacaso is another word for
sugar.
For those, well, we put it on iRadio89.com. All right, so it basically means like, hey, this, you know, you can use it in like a way where it's like, hey, this car has been nothing but shh. So you can say, oh, este carro fue un bien cacaso. Like, you know, so there you go.
You know what? I think it comes from the word fracaso.
Maybe.
It could be.
So, you know, yeah, just getting some knowledge there, you know.
All right, so Juan, you got a couple that I know you want to add to.
Yeah, so, you know, every country has a word for like a kid. So it's chico, el nene, you know, Salvadorians, don't ask me where it came from, but they say cipote.
Cipote?
Cipote o la cipota. So.
Oh, that's cool. That's different.
So that's something that I've heard my whole life, you know, being called like, what's up, kid? Like, you know, cipote, ¿qué onda? You know, that's like the real, what you hear, what you would say to like your nephew or whatever.
At first I saw you say cipote.
That's what I thought he said.
Which is foot smell. Or like just smell. So I'm glad that you changed that it was cipote, because oof.
Another one that sort of means like dummy, which goes hand in hand with cipote, is, and I don't know if it's used in a lot of other countries because I haven't really heard anyone else say it, but pasmado, meaning like dummy.
Pasmado?
Pasmado.
Pasmado. I've heard pasmado. That. I've heard pasmado.
Yeah, it's cipote pasmado, you know, like that, like dumb kid.
Like saying dense, like bobo in a way.
Yeah, when exactly.
When you combine the two, it's kind of like freaky, man. You're really putting out some nastiness on there. All right, we're going to go to the next thing. Two truths and a lie, Juan. You're not going to escape it. We do it to everybody who comes here as a guest. And so, in case of those of you who are listening for the first time, two truths and a lie is where we put our guest on the spot. And he has to come up with three stories on the fly. And one of them has to be a complete lie. And our crew here has to guess which one it is. So, Juan, we're going to let you go through your three. So, give us the first fact on your two truths and a lie.
Okay. So, to start. So, prior to becoming an actor, I was, when I was applying to colleges and all of that stuff, I was actually applying to major in criminal justice because I wanted to become a prosecuting attorney and to work in law. Yeah.
Okay.
So the first one is he was going to school to become a prosecutor.
That's a lie.
To work in law. All right. So why don't you know?
I know for a fact.
All right. So let's see. What's the second one?
Second one. So once upon a time, I submitted and won a Twitter contest, and I got to perform at Carnegie Hall in New York City as a result of that.
True. Scooby-Doo.
Tells me that's true, man.
Lord.
He's an actor, singer, blah, blah, blah. I know he's probably got this one.
True.
All right, so let me, I'm thinking that one. What's the third one?
And third one, in addition to playing the piano, I can also play the bass, the guitar, and the ukulele.
True.
The bass, the guitar, and the ukulele. I mean, all three are there.
Our strings. Yeah, I mean, from the strings family.
All right, so the first one. So let me go through these, and then you guys can tell me, and then we'll decide at the end. So let's see. The first one was he was going to study so he could turn around and become an attorney.
Right.
So what do you guys think about that one?
False.
Yeah, I think that's a lie.
You think he's lying? All right, don't answer Juan yet.
Okay.
All right, so the next one is that he turned around and he actually performed at Carnegie Hall because he won a Twitter contest.
True.
You guys think that's true?
I totally yeah. think it's true. For sure.
You think it's true? Okay. And so that third one is that he can play the ukulele, the guitar, and the bass, which are all pretty much similar instruments. And you guys think that's true?
I can believe that because he was in chorus all his life and singing stuff.
True.
True. Yeah. I want to switch. Yeah, but I want to switch. The first one... I want to say true. I'm going to switch the first one true. And the second one false.
Okay. All right. So, Juan, which one is it?
Which one is the lie?
Yeah. Which one's the lie? Come on. Hand it to us.
I cannot play the bass, the guitar, or the ukulele.
Oh, look at that.
I can only play the piano.
Okay.
But not all of those very complicated.
I thought he could play one. That's crazy.
Yeah.
All right, so Juan, one of the reasons that we brought you on the show is because you're like second generation when it comes to like your country. So what's that been like for you, you know, as you go through this episode and you're learning so much about the country that, you know, you represent? Like, how does that feel when you're living here in America? And a lot of people, you know, there's a lot of people who feel like they've kind of lost their culture, so to speak. How does that make you feel in essence? Do you feel like you're in that avenue or do you feel like you've gained a lot of like the knowledge that your parents have given you?
I'm fortunate that with such a big family, like I my mom's one of 10 kids. So I have 22 cousins on my mom's side. So I've just been immersed in family and learning about, you know, hearing all the stories my parents say and the trouble that they used to get into and all of this stuff. And I feel like it's definitely always been a part of me. I know sometimes with culture, people can sometimes feel like a fraud and like they shouldn't be like repping it because it's not part of them. But I've never felt that. But I do want to go back to El Salvador at some point. I'm kind of sad learning all of this and whatnot that I haven't gone when my mom is gone. Because she's gone back like 2 or 3 times since I went when I was really little. So I definitely want to go next chance that I get and just, you know, see all these beautiful places that you guys highlighted in the episode. And
that's the cool thing about this one is for that nostalgia to give you the information, give you the history, right? Give us that information and history and put in us that desire to want to go and visit those places, right? And recall the episode and things of that sort. And we do this so that we can show that the Latinx community here in the United States is very diverse, very large, and there's so many beautiful things to our culture, right? To give us that pride, right? So, yeah, man.
Yeah, I mean, it's the whole purpose of this series, man. Yep. Like, it's one of the things that we want to educate everybody on to everything concerning our Latin American culture.
I have an idea. We should do it after the pandemic and do a Latin Babble trip together. We'll take Juan to El Salvador.
What?
Yo, that's what I'm talking about, Juan. What?
And we're going
national football.
Imagine that and broadcast from there. That would be cool. And to broadcast from there, we're here in El Salvador.
Hey, we're here in El Salvador.
We brought him back to his country. Yeah.
The motherland.
So, guys, Juan, if people wanted to follow you or if they wanted to follow the podcast, where would they go?
So my Instagram is always the best bet. It's Juan Ayala Official. And it's just in case I become famous one day, I'll have that official in my in my name. For the podcast, it's Actors With Issues. Also on Instagram, new episodes of that show every Friday. We've got some great Latino artists that I have gotten to chat with over the past year almost that I've been doing the show. Some amazing interviews that I've had with them. Thank you guys so much for having me. This was a blast. Cool.
Oh, this was awesome.
No, it's great. Yeah, no, I mean, and one of the reasons that why I reached out was like, hey, you know what? This would be great because we're kind of learning together in a way.
Mm-hmm. Thank you,
that,
bro.
You know, for one, I have no idea about, and you're still, you know, waiting to kind of be able to go back and experience your culture in a different level. Because obviously we experience it with our families as we go, you know, and spend time. But it's different to be in our country while we do it. So, you know, I've had the privilege of being in DR. We just went and visited a couple years back. And that was just like, I mean, it was awing. Like, it was breathtaking just to be back in the same place where we kind of, you know, ran around in some of the places to visit some of the beaches that we knew, see some of the old cities, to visit family. So I got a chance to visit my grandfather when I was there. So, you know, I'm hoping that you get that opportunity too. And like I said, let's all go together.
Yeah, we're going to have a trip after the pandemic.
Road trip. Woo-hoo!
Yeah, qué buena onda.
All right, guys, so that is our show on El Salvador. We thank you, Juan Ayala, for joining us. All right, if you want to visit the Latin Babbler, you go to www.latinbabbler.com. You can follow us on all social media platforms at Latin Babbler Show. You can follow the crew while you're there. Make sure that you hit all of the tags and, you know, accompany them. You can also go to our Facebook group. If you type in Latin Babbler Show on the Facebook, you can see our group. Join there. We have a lot of contests and prizes. And again, be very, very attentive to some of these contests because we are going to be posting them up there. The people who listen to Mexico are right now, as we speak, filling out stuff to turn around and be able to win a limited edition Latin Babbler hat, which is out. So, again, the crew thanks you. We thank you. We love the people of El Salvador. And we...
Juan, I'll be there for New Year's. Bye.
Thank you, Juan.